This is a public service announcement, sponsored by Just Blaze and the good folks at Rockefeller Records.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho, Ho, H to the O-V. I used to move snowflakes by the O-Z. I guess even back then you could call me CEO of the R-O-C. Ho, fresh out the frying pan.
Welcome into another edition of the Naked Bootleg Podcast presented by the Boston Herald. Evan Lazar, joined as always by my co-host, Adam Kirchin, who has been grinding away at Gillette Stadium today. Adam, how's it going?
It's good. I'm ready to get into this and then maybe watch a little bit of this Packers game and get some sleep.
Right. It's like whenever during football season you can fit in sleep, it's always it's always a good idea. But yeah, this Packers game, not to get too off topic, but is an interesting one. I think the Bears are a little bit better than everybody thought.
Yeah.
And you know, the Packers have some injuries, it looks like, on the offensive line. It'd be an interesting game, I think. I think the Bears might surprise some people. But let's get into some Patriots football. And we're going to start this week talking about a few big picture things we are seeing with the Pats. And the first one that we wanted to get into was in the offensive backfield with the running backs and the running game in general. And Adam, it's been pretty rough, I would say. 3.5 yards per carry in the first 3 weeks. And we talked a little bit about this just now about how, you know, a lot of that has to do with short yardage situations that they're handing the ball off, but they're not really getting that done either, you know, picking up those short yardage third and ones and stuff like that on the ground. I was expecting more from this running attack. Obviously, it's early, but I think we were all expecting more. They have a stable of running backs. They have four good backs, and they have the continuity on the offensive line from last year, returning a bunch of guys. And you know, I think we all thought that they were going to do a little bit better than this.
Yeah, I do too. I think, at the beginning of the season, like even back to OTAs when you talked to Ivan Fears, he said the situation will become clear as far as, you know, how they use these guys. And then the season started, and I'm still sort of unclear as to, like, what the set roles are and who's good at what. I go back to the same thing, is I feel like the best running back on the team is Deion Lewis. In terms of doing a little bit of everything, I feel like he's the most well-rounded guy. I think he's the most talented guy, but he hasn't been used as much. So I don't really know. I think the team knows that it has a problem, especially on these third and ones, fourth and ones. My Sunday feature is on, you know, like, one to go situations, third and one, and if they decide to go on fourth and one. There have been six of those this year, and they are one of six. Last year, they were 30 of 43, which is just under 70%. And Blunt on those was 14 of 20, which was 70%. So I think the key, really, and Belichick, I asked Belichick about it this week, and he was talking about it. And a lot of times when you ask Belichick about a thing like that, he will say, like, well, that doesn't matter. There's something that you're missing that, it's a stupid question type of thing. But he did acknowledge that this is sort of a problem. And he actually came up with a figure, which is funny because I usually don't see him state an actual figure, but his number was 80%. He says, we want to hit 80% on those. Obviously you want to hit 100, but like 80% is sort of like
realistic
for, you know, for that. And it's right. not always running on fourth and third and one. It's passing too, but you know, a lot of times that's considered running down. So I think the team knows it's an issue. I think the team felt that when they brought in Mike Gillisley, he would be really efficient in that role. And he has had some, you know, good showings there, but he hasn't been as consistent as they'd hoped. So it's something, I think it's a combination of factors. I don't think it's just, you know, the running backs or the offensive line. I think from play to play, it's something different. A guy will slip through or and somebody will miss a block or, you know, somebody won't make a guy miss. You know, I think one of the things I like the most about Lewis is that you don't have to perfectly block the play for him to make one. In fact, that's he did that all the time in 2015. There would be somebody right there, you know, within a foot of him, and he'd stop and shake and bake and get like an extra yard or two. He's great at that. So I don't think they currently have that when they don't have Lewis in the game, and I think it's hurt them.
Yeah, I think I agree with a lot of what you said. The first thing is, I mean, the offensive line obviously has to take some of the blame, has to shoulder some of the blame here. It's not like there's acres of space for these guys to run through at the moment. It's not like in Dallas, for example, where, you know, you can see you can drive a tractor trailer through some of those holes that the offensive line is making. It's not. I understand that there's some of that in there. But really the biggest thing that when I look at it is that Mike Gillisley right now is not making anybody miss. He is getting what is blocked more or less, and you know, that is all that is there. So Pro Football Focus keeps track of this in what they call elusive rating, which is a statistic that basically measures how effective a running back is on getting his own yards, getting yards after contact, eluding defenders, that type of stuff. Mike Gillisley's rating right now is 16.2 out of 100. And that's 24th out of 28 among qualified running backs, almost dead last. And that's basically 28 running backs that get 50% of the carry. So more or less, we're talking about every team's number one running back. Deion Lewis is a little bit better. It's still not great, but it's a little bit better at about 27, 28% of the time he is creating yards on his own. I really would like to see Deion Lewis play more. I think we're at the point where Gillisley is a really good running back on the goal line. He's been fine in that role. But right now he is not doing enough for me, at least, to you know, make yards out of nothing, make things happen once he does get something blocked. You know, it's not just that, you know, it's not there. You know, it gets blocked sometimes, and at first guy that comes in his face, he's down. And, you know, I think that he's a good running back in terms of pushing piles and finishing and finishing forward and all those types of stuff, but he doesn't have any wiggle, you know. He's not going to make anybody miss, and he's not Marshawn Lynch either. He's not about to, you know, run somebody over in the hole and gain an extra 10 yards. I like Gillisley. I've liked him a lot, you know, coming into the season. Obviously a really efficient running back over the course of his career, and his numbers in terms of elusive rating have been better. Last year it was closer to 50%, so it was better in the past. Or maybe this is just him figuring out a new system, a new running style, a new blocking scheme, all those types of stuff. But I would like to see Deion Lewis play more, because I agree with you. I think he's the best running back that they have. And through 3 weeks, Gillisley just hasn't really been adding much to the equation. Like right now, I would give him like a C. You know, he's been average. Yeah. It's good in some respects because he is getting it done on the goal line. When they get down on the goal line, you can give it to Gillisley and he's going to score a touchdown. There's no doubt in my mind about that. But in the middle of the field, like, they need more out of this running game. They have all the pieces. They have a lot of different running backs. They have a good passing game to complement it. They have an offensive line that knows each other and has the talent to be a good run-blocking offensive line, I would say.
And then they have a fullback, you know, like how many teams?
And they have the tight ends, too. I mean, Dwayne Allen and Gronk are good blockers also. Yeah. So, you know, they have an attack here that could really be something that I was expecting to be a strength of this team and something closer to what we saw when, like, Stephen Ridley was at his best, you know, not a rushing attack like Dallas's that's just absolutely dominant or something like that, but something that's a clear strength as a complement to the passing game.
Right. I agree. I think, you know, I think, the running game still doesn't have, like, you know, one of those, not so much an identity, but something that always works. You know, like, a base either set of plays or play that just when you need it, it's there and it works. You know, every team needs that. Every unit needs certain stuff like that. And the running game doesn't have it right now. And I'm not saying it can't find it, though. That's the thing.
No, and I think that Gillislee can be better. Once I think that there is something to be said about him coming into a brand new running scheme. Right. It's very different from what they ran in Buffalo. He doesn't have a quarterback that can run like Tyrod Taylor. So right. The space is not the same. It's not there's no read option in New England. There's nothing like that with the stuff that they would do with Tyrod. This is a completely different running system. So I think some of it is he sees what's blocked. He's so focused on, you know, finding the right hole to hit that maybe he's playing a little tighter in terms of, you know, wiggle and getting guys to miss and stuff like that. But we were all expecting a little bit more, I think, out of him in terms of, you know, down-to-down carries, not necessarily situational football, but overall. Because I agree that with the situational football, I think that there's breakdowns, you know, in every which way. I don't think that it's necessarily Gillislee in third and fourth and one that is missing, you know, these giant holes that he should be running through to get first down. You know, it's just not there sometimes. It's just not being blocked very well. And there's like always, like you said, there's always one guy that just doesn't do his job. You know, that's just missing one block or just missing, you know, that or Gillislee is just missing that one missed tackle that could really create a big run, you know. And I don't think that I understand that maybe we all miss LeGarrette Blount a little bit, but I don't think that he would have been the answer in this situation either. I don't think that it's really that necessarily that, you know, we should have kept Blount around or anything like that. But I do think that I would like to see – I think we're both Team Deion Lewis. And I think that we'd like to – I would like to see Deion Lewis play more and give him some more carries and see if maybe he's the answer in terms of making guys miss and creating a little bit more big runs. I mean, their longest run of the season right now is 16 yards. I mean, it's not awful, but it's not great either.
It's not good.
Yeah.
It's funny. I mean – I was just looking – it's so funny to look at stats 3 games into the season. And so I was just on Pro Football Reference today looking at stuff. The Chiefs are averaging 6.8 yards per carry.
Yeah.
Games. I'm not saying the Patriots are – like the Patriots will never get that this year. But good Lord.
Yeah.
That is insane.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing that's great about that too, that you bring that up, is guess who's number one in PFF's elusive rating?
Yes.
Kareem Hunt.
Like Kareem Hunt.
By like a landslide.
Yeah, but it's funny how, you know, everybody was like, this running back class is so great. And then like Hunt was barely even talked about. Like Draftnicks knew who he was. And people who watch a lot of college football knew who he was. But he wasn't mentioned when we were talking about this draft class.
No.
He is unbelievable.
Yeah.
He's had an incredible start to his career. And none of it looks fluky to me. Like, he just looks like a stud, you know?
Yeah, after what he did to the Patriots, I was skeptical because I really wanted to see it happen more. You know, I wanted to not just judge it off of one game. As much as I like to get into the draft and stuff like that, he was not on my radar at all either. So I was really, you know, surprised to see him. Obviously, everyone was to see him have that game. But the last 2 weeks, he's done the exact same thing. And that 6.8 yards per carry has to do with a lot of, you know, different things that Kansas City does well. And they have a really good offensive line as well. But he's also the number one running back in making guys miss right now by double the amount of the second, you know, place guy. So he's literally putting the running game into a whole nother gear here that we've never seen. And then you look at the Patriots and you got Lewis, you got Gillislee, you got James White, and you got Burkhead, and all four of those guys are well below average in terms of making guys miss or creating yardage on their own. And it's just obviously I agree with you 100%. They don't have a Kareem Hunt, unfortunately, and you know, on this roster, but they have guys like Gillislee and Lewis who in the past have had success doing that. And it just, you have to see it happen. And I think a lot of it has, it's the running game more than even the passing game or anything in football is a 11 man thing. You know, it's an 11-man effort. Everybody's got to block. You know, obviously not the quarterback, but everybody else has to block, and the quarterback has to call the right, you know, see the right things at the line of scrimmage and check out a bad running plays and stuff like that. If that doesn't happen, then there could be breakdowns anywhere in one of the, you know, it's a team game. And right now it's everybody, but Gillislee, I think, can do more. Everyone can do more. I think we can all agree on that. Yeah. And, you know, I was really hoping that we were going to get back to being the Patriots being somewhere in that late top 10 range in terms of rushing the football, like it was, you know, in 2011, for example, when they had that great offensive year. You know, they have the talent to do that. They have the talent to be that. It's the same game. You know, I haven't changed the game last time I checked. So, you know, I would just like to see more, but let's move on to the other side of the ball, because I know that that's really what has everybody talking right now, is how bad is it with this defense? And I think that this Panthers game is another barometer test. You know, last week they failed against the Texans, a team that really had been struggling offensively coming in, and they gave up 33 points, was it? And in over 400 yards, it wasn't pretty. And now you have the Panthers who just got shut down by a New Orleans defense that's supposed to not be very good. And they got completely shut down by New Orleans. How worried would you be, I guess is the way to phrase this, if the Panthers, you know, have a big game against the Patriots, kind of like the Texans did?
Yeah, I think that is certainly a cause for concern for the Patriots if the Panthers light them up. They have real problems. Because, you know, I feel like, you know, Watson's a rookie, and you know, he didn't look great against the Bengals, but, you know, and Belichick this year or this week talked about how Watson's sort of, or Newton's the, you know, top of the pyramid type public enemy number one when it comes to mobile quarterbacks. But this year, I don't see it, because he's been so beat up, especially last year. And he's just physically not able, I don't think, to make the throws he was when he was healthy, and he's not accurate. Whereas I don't think Watson was pinpoint, but when he escaped pressure and could extend plays, he would find the open guy, and he made great decisions. I think Watson right now is better than Newton based on like what you see in that Patriots game, as opposed to what I've watched from Newton this year. I think essentially, like, this is a much easier offense to defend, because if the Panthers can't run the ball, they're really in trouble, you know. Yeah. Like, because they just aren't getting accuracy out of Newton, they're not getting consistency out of Newton. You know, I feel like, you know, if the Patriots can find a way to stop the run in this game, they should be fine, but they're not good against the run right now either, you know. And the other thing that I look at this Panthers offense, I think it's a really good opportunity for the Patriots defense to learn from what happened in the Chiefs game. Now,
yeah,
in the Chiefs game, you know, you obviously had a very accurate Alex Smith, and you know, a bunch of players who, you know, knew it, you know, knew their system down, and it was complex. With the Panthers, you have a system that has also got a lot of misdirection. It's got option principles. It has a mobile quarterback. It's got things that weren't exactly like how Kansas City runs its offense, but it's got the same sort of challenges in terms of this is not the type of offense you'll see every week. You know, it doesn't present the same type of challenges. It's unique. So
yeah. No, they run a lot of. They do run a lot of actions that I think are similar to Kansas City's in terms of, you know, jet sweeps with Curtis Samuel that they started implementing more, and McCaffrey too, and some of those full house packages with two or three guys in the backfield with Cam Newton, and they run sweeps and tosses, and they don't use Cam in the same QB power as a running back as much as they used to anymore, but they do use his legs in other ways to kind of, you know, confuse defenses. They ran a really nice couple nice jet sweeps where he ran to the guy that they were tossing it to on the sweep around, and it really caused a lot of problems for that Saints defense. you know, I think that really when it, you know, looking at a big picture here with the Patriots defense, you know, you got to have faith. I think that you got to remain to have faith in mainly the talent that they do have on the roster. Right now, the guys that they are going to count on here, you know, we talk a lot about the depth week in and week out, about the depth of the linebacker, and they don't have it in the front seven, and the defensive ends are not as good as in the years past, which is all true, but they have a lot of really good players, especially in the secondary, that are super talented guys that are playing okay, you know, good, but they're not playing to the level that you would fully expect them to be playing necessarily. And I think that that, along with the coaching, that I think that they've made some poor decisions coaching, especially in that Kansas City game. I think we can all agree, you know, that it wasn't the best game plan defensively. And I thought that the way that they handled Watson, you know, wasn't particularly good. You know, when they did get pressure, they were out of control. They were had no gap discipline whatsoever. And they also didn't get a very much immediate pressure because they really didn't put the pressure on him. They were rushing three or four guys, you know, and trying to do that mush rush control the pocket, which can work. And we've seen it work in the past. But if it's going to work, then they have to be disciplined in their gaps and they got to hold the position. And they were lunging at him and they started really chasing him. And he's way too good of a runner to chase. And that's what happened. And you mentioned, you know, all the big plays that he created after that. And, you know, the two biggest passing plays of the game for Houston were both off of broken Deshaun Watson scrambles. You know, the biggest one being to Foreman, you know, that almost cost him the game in that fourth quarter. And, you know, that was a play when you watch it that obviously they should have sacked him. They had four or five chances to bring him down, but guys are just lunging at him. You know, guys are running at him. These bigger defensive linemen are running and chasing this little, you know, fast Deshaun Watson that's, you know, is going to have a great escapability. And I think they underestimated maybe his running ability a little bit because they didn't see him do it as much in Cincinnati as they did against the Patriots on Sunday. They give it, you know, Houston credit and Bill O'Brien credit. He put a lot of new plays into this, you know, system that really were built to help Watson run better and use his legs more to become a part of the offense and a part of his threat as a quarterback. Cam Newton, obviously it's a little bit different now. Their usage of him is a little bit different now, but I just think that guys like Devin McCourty, Pat Chung, you know, Gilmore, Butler, Trey Flowers, Hightower, when he comes back, and even a guy like Kyle Van Noy, who's been kind of not so good through the 3 weeks, is just kind of interesting. But those guys, I think I have a little bit more faith in than most people that they're going to figure it out, along with the coaching staff, to make this presentable. I'm not going to say that they're going to be, you know, this juggernaut defense, but I think that they will be presentable to the point where they're not, you know, the entire Achilles heel of the entire team, you right. know, when we start talking about the playoffs and the Super Bowl and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think there's a certain element. I know this is sort of like, in some respects, it's like, well, this doesn't explain everything, but I think that there is a part of it where I know – you know, you hear it every year that Belichick, you know, we don't know what we have until a certain part of the season. I think there's so many new players here that they don't quite know what they have from every guy. They don't know the best strengths and best weaknesses with each guy. So they don't really quite have sort of a sense of what to call and when to call it and why and if it'll work yet. You know, that's not a good excuse fully because – it's they've had that in the past and they've still played much, much better than this. But I mean, really, when you consider the guys that are playing out there right now, there's so many new guys. There's rookies, there's, you know, undrafted rookies, there's guys that just have been here since the first week,
which explains a lot the really, you know, undisciplined play that they had against Watson, I think, is, you know, you have guys like Wise and Cassius Marsh and Adam Butler who are playing a lot more snaps than we probably thought, and they are not quite up to speed in terms of the approach that the Patriots are going to have to these types of mobile quarterbacks, I don't think.
Yeah, and then there's a couple things in that Texas game. I watched them again, and I'm like, well, what are you going to do? like the touchdown pass that Jonathan Jones was in coverage. Like there are a couple.
Ellington, yeah.
Yeah, there are a couple plays when Jonathan Jones, I thought, was all over his man, and it was a great throw and a great catch.
Right. I mean, you have to tip your cap to Watson. He played a great game.
I think it's funny, like, with Watson, you know, how familiar everything looked from when he was in college. Every time I saw Clemson play, it seems like, Watson would sort of struggle at first. And a lot of great quarterbacks are this way. He would sort of, he'd throw a couple early interceptions, or he'd, you know, be inaccurate and the other team would hang around a little bit. But as the course of the game, went on, he'd get smarter and smarter and smarter in terms of figuring out what the other team is trying to do to defend him. He'd figure it out. Now, there's a lot of times where quarterbacks, you sort of know what to do and start catching on, but they can't do it. And Watson is somebody who always, throughout the course of his career at Clemson, and now through that game, it was really evident, is as the game went on, he figures it out and he gets better and he will beat you that way. So I think his intelligence when it comes to this game is really impressive. And I think it was on full display. I think that's what you're going to see out of Deshaun Watson every game, is a guy that, okay, well, you know, he might not start out so well, but he's so smart in terms of figuring out what the defense is trying to do to him that eventually he becomes almost unstoppable.
No, he's a really good player. I trashed on him a lot. I trashed on Bill O'Brien a lot coming into this game because of their performance against Cincinnati. I just thought it was a garbage game plan and pretty lackluster. I think that's, you know, overly, you know, easily stated. But I think that you got to give him a lot of credit. He came in and he played a really good game and he made some really big time throws. The touchdown to Ellington was a really good example. He made a couple of really other big time throws, fitting him into tight windows and really taking it to the Patriots. And then he got really comfortable. I thought Bill O'Brien did a really good job. One of the best coach games I've seen Bill O'Brien have against the Patriots was this game, and he really did a good job of getting Watson comfortable with some of the design QB runs and the bootlegs that he had installed in the offense, and I thought that really got Watson into a groove. It got him into rhythm and got him comfortable out there on the field because he was doing things that he was familiar with doing. You know, he wasn't reading defenses and going through keys and, you know, going through progressions to his third or fourth receiver. It was, you know, first receiver and out, or it was bootleg, or it was, you know, scramble drill. And those were things that he was much more comfortable doing than what we saw against Cincinnati. I thought he was, you know, asked a little bit too much of a rookie quarterback, especially to play that style, a Tom Brady-esque style, you know, sitting in the pocket and reading defenses. So give him a lot of credit. Give Bill O'Brien a lot of credit for a really good offensive game plan. But I think that overall, again, when I watched it, I thought the coverage for the Patriots was pretty good. I didn't think that there was any breakdowns, really, no big mistakes like you saw in New Orleans or Kansas City, especially, you know, where coverages were just completely busted. You know, it was much cleaner. I thought they played a really good game in the secondary, to be honest, and a lot of the big plays that they got burned for were just Watson creating something out of nothing.
Yeah, and the thing is we just talked about this last week, and it's funny how it just turned. You know, like we were talking about, like look, when you have a rookie quarterback, the best way to develop him is to start with him using comfortable things. And, that's what O'Brien did. It was a great adjustment. He was so different. And then once that happens, the other stuff comes along, and it becomes easier for that quarterback to do the things that are more difficult, because by the end of the game, I noticed he was sort of progressing a little bit more. His first read wouldn't be there, and then he would look around, and it's sort of a development thing. Like you, you start small. You don't throw them the advanced placement test right. First day of school. And I think that's, you know, something that just in general, like we said last week, the league struggles with coaching wise. They just don't know how to do it.
Stubbornness.
But some do. And it pays off. And I think when you get a player Watson's intelligence, you're gonna really benefit from that.
Yeah, and you know, just to wrap this up, I really think that, you know, overall the way that they rushed him was probably a little bit problematic in terms of overall strategy, not even talking about what actually happened. I think that over the last couple of years, we've seen the Patriots kind of take the gas off a little bit in terms of bringing extra pressures and, you know, designing ways to create pressure. They've rated very low in the last couple of years in terms of advanced metrics and pressuring the quarterback in a way that is really going to affect him. And Watson, I thought, hung on to the ball a lot in this game and was able to create with his legs because mainly they didn't really let him be comfortable in the pocket in the first second or two of the play, and it wasn't until a block broke down from the offensive line that something was created. And I don't know, you know, you never want to say that you know more about football than Bill Belichick, but, you know, I would really venture to say that right now it's an interesting question of whether or not they're doing the right thing in terms of the pass rush. They have these corners and these safeties that are really good. They have two corners in Butler and Gilmore who are good cover corners, and then they have, you know, safety play behind them that can cover up things as well. And yet we see these three or four man rushes and they're dropping seven or eight guys into coverage on every play. And they're really just relying on guys beating, you know, blocks up front to get pressure instead of really bringing the heat. I think that we'd all like to see a little bit more of an aggressive style to this defense, because what they did was with Watson was they kind of sat back and they let him, you know, just control the game from inside the pocket in terms of his mobility. And I just wonder, when you watch the Jacksonville tape of him or watch Cincinnati, they were much more aggressive in attacking Watson and they're much quicker to the pressure. And that was a lot to do also with the Houston offensive line. But I think that I wonder, and I'll ask you this, you know, do you think that the approach to how the Patriots are pressuring quarterbacks is really working right now? Because I think it's fair to say that the statistics especially would say it's not.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think a couple things with that. You know, right now, like, there are a couple sacks to be had against Watson that he just got out of.
Right.
But like you said, there's reaching on that. I think a part of that is when you face a guy like Watson who can do that all game, it gets harder and harder and harder by the end of the game to keep chasing a guy that's just faster than you. He didn't get tired, but I think they did, yeah. You know, a little bit. And I also think that sometimes when they face certain players, they feel like, okay, if we keep him in the pocket, he's not going to beat us from within it.
And that was a good strategy, but then you got to do it well.
I also think they banked on the fact, I think they underestimated his ability to, when he breaks the pocket, to keep his eyes downfield and find an open guy rather than take off, which is kind of what he was doing against Cincinnati. He's already gotten better at that, you know, yeah. Just 1 week.
It's crazy. He looked like a different guy out there 10 days later. Yeah.
But as far as the Patriots approach, you know, I think they have faith in certain guys on the defensive line who can pressure without blitzing, without sending extra guys. I think every defense wants – the ideal is, you know, we can pressure guys with four or five or the minimal amount or whatever, three, then that's what we want because we can drop more guys in coverage. And I think they thought, you know, I think they still feel that, you know, guys like Trey Flowers, guys like Dietrich Wise, that they can get pressure with those guys sometimes. I just don't feel like they're confident yet and blitzing and going after guys with some of the guys, because I just don't know who their other great pass rushers are. Like, I'm using great pretty liberally here, like who on this team is, is going to get to the quarterback when you blitz. I mean, when it's not on the field,
it's definitely a personnel issue, but it's all, I think that, they have to overcome the personnel issues in different ways. Over the last couple of years, this is definitely a theme. The pass rush is just not, it's not dangerous. It's not really, affecting quarterbacks all that very much. And, personnel has a lot to do with it. It's a lot of everything, but I think that overall, whatever they are doing, I think it's pretty clear that it's not necessarily working the way that they want it to. And I think that was very clear against Watson, that they wanted to do that, contain him in the pocket, that approach that they've done in the past with, guys like Russell Wilson or Tyrod Taylor. And they've done it, effectively sometimes, and other times they really haven't. And some of these mobile quarterbacks have actually over the years gotten the better of them because of that. And, I don't know if attacking him was necessarily the right answer. I think a lot of people would say that it was, just based off of what Jacksonville and Cincinnati was able to do. I think that it's an interesting point that maybe they are not putting enough eggs in the pass rushing basket, so to speak. These other defenses that you see that are really, really good, you can talk about their secondaries, but it always starts with the pass rush in terms of defending passes and keeping that in check. And a defensive, for example, like Denver obviously has great corners, but they've always had a great pass rush too, and it kind of goes hand in hand. And you see Seattle, they're kind of taking a step back this year, and if you look at it, it's mainly because their pass rush isn't the same that it has been in the past. So I just wish that they would see that and identify that they need to find better ways to help their corners out. Because especially in this Texans game, there was some really good coverage but in the corner, in the secondary. And Watson's just standing there with three and a half seconds to throw the ball. He's running around. There's no way that anyone's going to cover any NFL wide receiver for that long. Yeah. And it just was – at the end of these plays, guys like DeAndre Hopkins just sneaking away from Gilmore, or Foreman just sneaking behind Trey Flowers on a scramble in the big play, or Ryan Griffin just finding a hole in the zone on the backside of the play, and Watson throws it across the field. That's not coverage. That's pass rush. I definitely think that there's an issue there. But let's move on to the Panthers here and start previewing this game a little bit. And you talked a little bit about Cam Newton, but just to get back to that a little bit, obviously their attack is much different now than it was in, let's say, his MVP season in 2015. And it's mainly because they don't use him as a runner anymore. So they've basically taken that threat out of their offense of him really being a second or third running back in the backfield. And it's really hurt them, I think. And there's nothing really that I think that they can do necessarily, because they obviously want to keep Cam healthy. And it's a risky endeavor to keep having him take those hits like a running back. But at the same time, that just takes away so much life out of that offense when Cam isn't a threat with the ball in his hands as much as he used to be. And I think that you're 100% right that he's not an accurate quarterback right now. I think a lot of it's timing with his receivers. No preseason for him whatsoever, with the shoulder issue. So he didn't get those reps. And now I'm kind of talking myself into it as I talk, of maybe this is finally the game that Cam Newton, four games into the season, has a little bit more continuity with his receivers, has a little bit more of a comfortable feel, and starts seeing the field a little bit better. And against a struggling Patriots defense, let's face it, let's hope that we don't see the old Cam. But I think that there's a chance that if we're going to see the old Cam at all this year, it might be this week.
Yeah, well, what I think is, too, that the struggles with their offense is kind of what I was saying with the Patriots defense, in terms of getting used to what you have and incorporating it into something that works well.
Right. Right. But they don't know what to really do with McCaffrey yet. And they know that he's super talented. We all know he's super talented. But they are kind of losing sight of, you know, is he a receiver? Is he a running back? Are we going to just turn it around and hand it off to him? Or are we going to, you know, design plays to try to make him, put him in space and stuff?
Yeah, well, the thing that, like, I watched the game this weekend, and then, like, you know, I remember when they drafted Curtis Samuel, I was like, wow, look at that. I mean, that's such a great fit. And then, and I went on Pro Football Reference and looked, and, like, the carry he had this past weekend is the only carry he's had all season.
And it gained quite a bit of yards. I can't remember exactly how much.
He is one carry for 31 yards.
Yeah. I mean, that was the play I was talking about. Cam came around and flipped it to him one direction, and it brought it back the other direction, and he's fast. I mean, he's really fast.
Really fast, and that's the type of play that you can use. You don't even necessarily have to do it that way. You can even just have him come around on the jet. He's fast enough to hit that corner against anybody. Right. So he's got that type of speed. That's why he was so effective at Ohio State, because Urban Meyer was like, all right, this is what he's good at. Let's do it over and over again. It's the, you know, he did it over and over again, and he was super successful. So you know, I can only imagine that the Panthers offensive coaching staff and Mike Shula look at that and say, okay, let's use this more. You know, let's use this, because not only does it work as a play to gain yards, but, it, you know, if you have that as a part of your offense, as more of a staple, as more than once in three games, then it's something this part of the – you know, defense has to account for, and then, you know, their eyes are going this way and somebody fills that void, and, you know, there's a million things you can do off that action. You know, offenses have been doing it for years. So, you know, I think if the Panthers sort of figure out how to use these guys to the best of their abilities, which they haven't yet, it's potentially a very good offense. It's just not there yet. But I really do think, like we were saying, if like you were saying, if Newton can't run, and if his accuracy isn't there throwing, it's just going to be limited, because there's just not the thing you can do. Like we were saying, there's a lot that they have in common with the Chiefs as far as the misdirection and the different types of ways that they can run the ball. But you know, the Chiefs had an Alex Smith who was, you know, hitting everybody who is there, you know, super, super efficient. So, you know, I think it all is going to come down to, you know, is Cam healthy enough and comfortable enough to hit receivers when they're open? Because he was missing open receivers.
He's not seeing the field very well. And it's interesting, because he's playing in the same offense that he's played in his whole career pretty much, but it looks like he's kind of new to the offense almost, you know. He's looking at coverages and he's seeing, you know, he should react one way and he's reacting another way right now to what he's seeing. And it's interesting, you know, the second interception he got against New Orleans, he had Curtis Samuel wide open on a drag route underneath, and the coverage was demanding that. I mean, it was a cover three. It was actually a mixed coverage of man and zone, but basically the corner that was supposed to be covering up Curtis Samuel dropped back into a third of the field in cover three, and Samuel just came across the field, and he was wide open. There was nobody underneath, and Cam ended up throwing it into the robber in the cover one in the middle of the field, and it was a pick. It was an easy pick for Vaccaro, and you know, it was just things like that where that he's been playing in this offense for years now. He should know that when he sees that corner back off, that Curtis Samuel is going to be wide open. That's, you know, that should be instantaneous for him, and it's just not clicking right at the moment. But I think that they do present a really interesting challenge to the Patriots in terms of how far have the Pats come in just a couple of weeks now from stopping Kansas City's outside zone runs and different jet sweeps and different looks in the backfield and stuff like that, because I think the Panthers team can do a lot of the same things well that Kansas City did on the ground. There's a lot of motion, you know, in the backfield. There's a lot of sweeps. There's a lot of different guys that can be either handed to or he can run it himself. You know, there's a lot of different stuff going on. And I think at some levels, this Panthers offense is almost a poor man's version of Kansas City's right now. In terms of, you know, Curtis Samuel could eventually be a Tyreek Hill type player, maybe down the line. They have two running backs in McCaffrey and Stewart who are good running backs, similar to Hunt. And Cam has the ability to be a good quarterback. I mean, he was MVP of the league 2 years ago. Yeah. So we know that he has the ability to do it. They aren't the same. They don't have Olsen. If they had Olsen, then they would really be similar to Kansas City with Kelce. And that's a big blow, obviously, that they don't have Olsen. But I think that there's a lot of things that this offense can do that can really hurt the Patriots in terms of their speed on the outside. And I'm going to be interested to see how the Patriots handle some of the horizontal actions similar to what Kansas City was throwing at them. With the tosses and the sweeps and different stuff like that, you know, what can they do to stop it this time around? Because if they let it, you know, this Panthers offense on the ground especially, I don't think that it's really going to give them much trouble through the air unless the ground just opens everything up for Cam and the play action game starts getting going and some of that read option stuff that they still do gets going. But I do think that, you know, this offense can present a lot of trouble on the ground. And one guy I like to circle, offensive lineman, and Trey Turner is one of the best guards in the league who they just paid a crap ton of money over the offseason. And I think that he's a guy that, you know, that could really mess things up in the middle of that defense also. So, you know, this is an interesting matchup. I think that this is almost like how far have we come from Kansas City? Just, I know it's only a couple weeks now, but they could definitely do a lot of the same things.
Yeah, I agree. And I guess on if you're talking about the Patriots offense going against the Panthers defense, I think that'll be interesting too because, I mean, you're going up against – I mean, I still think, like, I mean, you're not going to see it from the stats, but a guy like Kwon Short is – it's just awesome.
Yeah, him and Star Latulé are a great defensive tackle combo in the middle there.
And so, that's a challenge for the interior line. And then, you know, you got a guy like Luke Kuechly who is as smart and physical and fast as any linebacker you want. So it's, you know, that's a front seven that will challenge you. And, you know, I feel like the Patriots – you know, found a good rhythm on offense against the Texans and, you know, against the Saints as well. So it's just a matter for that side of the ball of, you know, continuing what it's been doing well. And seeing if it can sort of improve in the running game a little bit. I'm not expecting them to really run the ball that well, though. I really do think the main thing to watch in this game is if the defense can put together a consistent four-quarter effort and, you know, shut down an offense that, you know, doesn't really know what it's got yet, I don't think. I mean, it's got the pieces, I think, Caroline. When I look at them, I think, okay, you know, if they sort of figure out what to do with these guys, they'll be fine. But it's not there yet. So if they get blown up by the Panthers in that respect. I mean, that's something you really gotta look at and say, okay, there's some real issues here.
Right, I agree. I think this is, you know, none of us want to overreact to the first 4 weeks of the season because we've just seen this movie before, right? You know, we've seen this happen before where the Patriots defense doesn't look great. And maybe they're 2-2 or they're 3-1, but it's not really a good 3-1, which might end up being the case this year as well in that type of situation. But the last week was really disappointing to see them give up that many points and yards to a rookie quarterback. This week, you know, a struggling offense that they should be able to handle, that New Orleans, who has been garbage on defense now for a year plus, handled pretty easily, I might add. Kelvin Benjamin is a decent player, but he's not – he doesn't have great separation. He's not a great speed guy, obviously. He's a big-bodied dude. They have plenty of guys that should be able to cover him. that should be able to, Stephon Gilmore should be able to shut down Kelvin Benjamin. He's not anywhere near the type of player that I think that he was as a rookie pre-ACL. You know, now it's much more a slower game for him. But defensively for the Panthers, you mentioned it, but one of the best linebacker groups in the entire NFL, if not the best, with Heakley and Thomas Davis, and then Shaq Thompson, who is a really fast, good coverage linebacker that they have. Those three guys together are definitely one of the best linebacker groups in the NFL.
Yeah, and, you know, I think this Panthers team in general, like, hey, they did start off 2-0. You know, their defense looked fine until
They still have the number one defense in football, despite giving up a lot of yards to the Saints. So
right. So you know, there's scenarios where the Panthers could win this game. I think, I think all the issues that the Pats had in the first few weeks are still basically there. I don't think you're gonna necessarily see the Pats like do a total 180 on the things they've been struggling with.
Yeah.
I don't think it works that way. I think in general, like when the Pats improve upon something, it's usually after, you know, a bye week or, you know, a personnel move that we didn't see coming. Or games upon games upon games, where it's sort of a gradual thing,
right?
And that turns the corner and whatever. You know, there's always the chance that that never happens too. I mean, you know, this could just not be a good defense.
I think you've got to have faith in that Belichick is going to figure this out to a point.
Right.
That's all my point is, and I think a lot of people think that I don't like to criticize the team or something like that. That's not the case. I just don't ever want to criticize the team to the point where we are saying that the sky is falling. You know, they have flaws. They have obvious flaws in linebacker and then really in the defensive front for the most part is an obvious flaw. But I really have faith that Belichick, and why wouldn't you have faith that Belichick could figure this out, seeing how he's dominated the NFL for the last almost 20 years now. You have to have faith that guy's going to, you know, probably figure it out, that knows a thing or two. But just looking at this Panthers defense a little bit more, I think that the secondary is beatable. I think that they have a chance to really get after it in the passing game here. They don't have really great corners on either side. Neither one of those guys are really anything to write home about, and their safety play isn't so good either. Their front, though, is it's not the same as Houston's front. Like, it's not going to rush the heck out of Brady. There's no Clowney and Watt necessarily. But they have guys that are really going to push the envelope that are strong. They're a very strong physical front, I would say. And Mario Addison is kind of a pass rush specialist, defensive end that could get after the quarterback. That's a really good pressure guy. So he's a good guy to circle too. But overall, I just worry that this Patriots team on both sides of the ball, Houston really controlled both sides of the ball, I thought, in the trenches on the line of scrimmage in that game. And I think Carolina has a chance to do some of the similar things, especially with this defensive front that they have with guys like Kiki Short and Star Latulele and linebackers that could really, you know, lean on this Patriots offensive line and maybe not beat guys off the edge as well necessarily as like a J.J. Watt or Clowney would do, but really start pushing back and getting in Brady's face that way.
Yeah, I think that was a big concern. I think it's still a concern. Like, you know, this team, the stuff with the offensive line is a legitimate sort of concern. I think, you know, and I think the Patriots sort of were trying to prepare for it because they drafted four people and two of them were offensive tackles.
Right.
You know, like that. So I think that, I mean, all that tells me is that they said, okay, like, you know, some of these guys are either on their way down or, you know, we need to replenish things in that respect. And, you know, McDermott is not there and Garcia is injured. And so, you know, I think they sort of saw some of these struggles coming. You know, I think, you know, Solder hasn't played well. And so, you know, I, you know, how much of that is, you know, going to continue the rest of the season? Is he going to turn it around? Who knows? But you're right. Like, the line play, even on, you know, on both sides of the ball, you know, they don't control the line of scrimmage right now. The Texans did. And I think, you know, when that's a problem on both sides of the ball, that's very hard to quote scheme your way out of, you know, right. Like you can't, like you, it's really hard to, you know, be a good offense without a good offensive line or be a good defense without a high performing defensive line. So those struggles right now, I think, are, you know, maybe not as talked about, but
yeah, I would agree. I think at the root of the Patriots' problems right now, the play along the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball is really the one that could really cost this team a championship the most. I don't think that they're going to lose a Super Bowl because they don't have enough depth at linebacker, I guess is what I'm saying. Yeah. They could lose a Super Bowl or not make it to a Super Bowl because their offensive line is stinky and so is their defensive line. That is a bigger issue than anything across the board can really be with this team, barring, you know, a serious injury to an important player. You know, I think that is a really big issue, and I think Carolina has the chance to dominate in a similar fashion, you know, in terms of effectiveness, but in a different way schematically than a Houston or than a Kansas City. But they still have the horses to, you know, win that fight in a different way. And it's a test across the board, I think, for the Patriots in this game because it's a worse team that they should handle, just like they should have handled Houston a little bit better. And it took, you know, Brady to, you know, really bail them out with Cooks there at the end. And, you know, I worry about this offensive line because I think that, you know, it should be better. It should be better because on paper it is better than it is playing right now by a lot. You know, Cannon is better than he's played. Solder is better than he's played. David Andrews and Joe Tooney, I think it's the jury is still out on both of them. Shaq has been pretty good. But I think that Andrews and Tooney, I'm not sure if I'm 100% if they're good football players yet, which asks another question about talent evaluation. You know, so what is it? It's obviously not scheme because they have one of the best offensive line coaches to ever do it. You know, with Scar. So it's obviously not scheme. It's more either personnel or guys are just not playing up to their standards. And right now I think it's a little bit of both of those things.
Well, yeah, I think the way I look at it is maybe a little different. I think, like, it's finding out, you know, there's certain things as good and bad, but there's also certain players who are good at things and have strengths and weaknesses. Like, I think Andrews is a good center, but he's compared to, you know, a lot of the guys he's going up against, he's just undersized.
Right.
I think Tooney is good and he's athletic, but he's not big either. You know, I feel like, you know, Solder, I think some of those struggles are real. You know, I don't think that there's a lot of fluky stuff when it comes to the Solder stuff. He's getting older. He's a very tall guy, and I think the older you get, and if you start, you know, losing it just a little bit, it's harder for a guy that size to get low and block certain guys, and so that's a concern. And so, you know, I think it's a matter of, you know, making, you know, calling plays and asking these guys to do things that they can do, you know. So,
which I think that they've been good in certain guys like Shaq Mason, for example, who's playing well. You know, he does things that he's very specific to his skill set. He pulls in the run game, and you know they really help him out in pass protection as well. And he's played really well because, you know, he has a role. He knows what his use is on the team. I agree. I think that Tooney, for example, is a perfect example of that, where he doesn't really know what he's good at. You know, is he a good run blocker, or is he a good pass blocker? Not necessarily that you have to be one or the other, but usually guys are better at one than the other. You know, and what makes an all-world offensive lineman like a Joe Thomas or something like that is a guy that's good at everything. But what makes some of these guys that aren't at that level or aren't that great are is a specialty. And Solder used to be a guy that was quick, and now he's not. So, you know, it's really a matter of finding, you know, what they're good at. Solder was a really athletic tackle when he came into the league. I mean, they used him at tight end some a little bit when he was, you know, at his best. He was a good mover, a guy that can really run and is a big guy. Not really the case as much anymore now that he's, you know, had some injuries and he's getting a little bit older. I think that this offensive line is really interesting because I thought at least that when they brought back all five starters, this unit would take a step. I thought as a whole, continuity is important, and I thought they also had some good players. I think Cannon and Shaq Mason are good players. I think they're good offensive linemen, and that will play better. And I also think that Solder is better than he's played. And the fact that they haven't played better as a whole, as a unit, is troubling because it's a lot of different things that went into those decisions to keep those guys around and to keep this going. And, you know, personnel decisions, you know, decisions in terms of the players, you know, getting better or worse on their own right. And, you know, right now it's just not there. And Houston has a great front and a great, you know, number of pass rushers that can really give a lot of teams trouble. But that was the best game Houston's ever played against the Patriots, really ever, except one Week 17 game that, you know, was a throw-in type thing. You know, the Patriots already clinched everything up. Other than that, they were undefeated against Houston. They were 7-1 against Houston coming into this game, and they barely won. So it's interesting, you know, the last couple of years they've really controlled them, 27-0 with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback. And, you know, now this time around they come in and they basically won the game. Tom Brady really, you know, put together a little bit of, you know, what we're used to seeing. But for the most part, the Texans played better on the whole, I thought, than the Patriots. Maybe offensively you could argue that the Patriots had some good moments where they controlled the game a little bit. You know, the long touchdowns to Hogan and Cooks are good examples. But overall, you know, I thought Houston won that game from start to finish.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those deals where, you know, you just give the Patriots a chance at the end of the game and you just don't like the other team's chances.
Right. You got a feel for Houston on it. You got a feel for the reaction on that sideline was pretty demoralizing when Brady threw that touchdown because they played their asses off and they played about as good of a game as they could have played on both sides of the ball. They played. You know, Deshaun Watson played out of his mind. J.J. Watt played out of his mind. They controlled the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. Their receivers were good. You know, Miller and Foreman had good games. They basically did everything that they could have done. And then you throw your hands up in the air because Brady just needs that final, the ball in his hands with 2 minutes to go within a score. And it just, we've seen that movie so many times before.
Right. Yeah, I think it's true when they scored. I also kind of thought it was true when they didn't get the first down and they had to kick a field goal because I feel like you have to completely cut the head off
the snake,
to beat the Patriots. And if you leave any sliver of hope, then the Patriots will take advantage. Not only is Brady really good in those situations, but, you know, Belichick's very good at clock management and putting his players in the best chance to win. So when you combine those two things, it makes it the odds are more favorable for a team that shouldn't do things like that. You know, it puts the chips in their favor when it shouldn't be, you know. So I think, you know, that game, I mean, you know, teams have to learn their lesson, you know, you go for the kill shot. You make sure that they have to go for two scores instead of one. I think that's what Kansas City did really well. You know, Kansas City never let up.
They stomped on the throat. Yeah. And it's interesting because on one hand, you know, you say don't kick the field goal, you know, go for it. And Atlanta tried that, and Atlanta just didn't execute, and it just fell apart for them. Now you just can't leave the door open. You got to do what you're right. You got to do what Kansas City did. You got to shut the door. You got to slam the door shut and give them no hope, no hope whatsoever. Because you give Brady just a little bit of hope, and it's just over. And you know, when he got the ball back in that game, and he just knew it. You just knew that he was going to find a way to get something done, to move the ball and put them in position to win. I think that I was surprised that they threw the long touchdown to Cooks when they threw it. I thought maybe we would get a last second, 10 seconds to go type thing in the red zone situation, a little bit longer drive. But man, it took them like three or four plays of chunk yardage to go right down the field. They had that 3rd and 18 that obviously put them up against it. But other than that, you know, there's 2 minutes and 40 seconds left in the game, and it's 3rd and 1, and Houston has the ball, and they're up by, what was it, 2, or I guess, or whatever it was, and the game's over. I mean, the game's over for any other team pretty much. I mean, they have the ball, they have the lead. They have a short down situation where if they pick up the first down, the game is literally over. And the Patriots make the stop. They decide to kick the field goal, which I guess you can argue maybe it wasn't the best decision at the end of the day. And then they give up the touchdown to Cooks. And it's just like, what do you do? What do you do about that when your rookie quarterback on the road plays out of his mind, your defense hits Tom Brady 8 times and sacks him 5 times, and he still puts up 36 points and wins the game? It's unbelievable. He's unbelievable. And it like defines logic almost, some of these games that they just pull out of, nowhere. I thought really the Super Bowl was like, that was the tip of the iceberg in terms of doing that for the Patriots. But when you really start to think about it, and this game just adds to the legacy of how many times they have pulled these games out of their asses and won in the end. Yeah. I mean, it is incredible. One game that it reminds me of is the Cleveland Browns game, where they had to onside kick it. They onside kick it. Yeah. They recover the onside kick. They score. They get the ball back again. They score again, and they win the game.
Yeah.
The New Orleans game in 2013.
The New Orleans game, That's the one I was like, oh, come on.
It's like 4th and 4, and he's passing it to Austin Collie, who they just signed off the street, during the week, and he picks up the biggest first down, of the season. And then Brady throws a touchdown pass that was the most beautiful thing you've ever seen to Kentonbrell Tompkins, who doesn't even play in the league anymore. And it's unbelievable. And this guy just continues to do it. And it defines physics. It defines science. I give him a lot of credit. And the Patriots, you're right. You got to cut the snake off. That's what you, the head of the snake. That's your only choice. But all right, we've talked a long time now about this, but let's get out of here. What do you got going on? What are you writing up?
So on Sunday, there will be a feature on this 3rd and 1, 4th and 1 problem that the Patriots are having right now, how much that can hurt. Is it sustainable? The short answer to that is no, if you want to win. What they can do and where they are as far as getting that fixed.
Yeah, the short down yardage, you just have to point to that 2015 AFC Championship game against Denver. Yeah. And Belichick said it after that game in some press conference, I forget when, that, you kind of learn about your team in those types of situations. If you can't pick up a 3rd and 1 for the season or a 4th and 1 for the season, then it probably wasn't just, you just didn't have a good enough team. And I think that that's really true. If you can't pick up a yard when you desperately need a yard, then that, that kind of sums it up right there. But right now I have a film review up on Pat's Pulpit about the Patriots' pass rush against Deshaun Watson and some of the mistakes that they made that really burned them. And then also in the Herald this week, I had an article on Tom Brady throwing the deep ball more than ever and doing it pretty good as well. So go check those things out. And then, you know, have all the coverage me and Adam will, you know, at the beginning of the week in terms of after this Carolina game and stuff like that. But that's all we have for tonight. Signing off for Adam Kirchen, I'm Evan Lazar. We'll be back next week.